This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking to Dr. Neil Nathan. He's an expert in treating complex medical problems that have heretofore baffled many conventional physicians, even many functional medicine doctors. He's the go-to guy for patients with mold toxicity, tick-borne disorders, multiple chemical sensitivities, chronic environmental illness. These are patients who are often left by the wayside. They're stuck. And in part one, we explained why there's a chronic activation of their immune system, which we have to gently shut down. There are many, many precipitants of this, Dr. Nathan. But first, I just want to give mention of the fact that Dr. Nathan is in practice. And fortunately, you know, we have patients all over the country, all over the world, in fact. Fortunately, you offer an avenue for patients to consult with you, patients who maybe they have a physician in their hometown in New York or Chicago. I know you're on the West Coast in Redwood Valley in Northern California. But you can contact Dr. Nathan through his website, neilnathanmd.com. And Dr. Nathan, you kind of provide a lifeline sometimes to physicians who need some guidance in working with patients who are stuck.
I'll put it this way. I try. More and more of my work in the last year or two has been focused on teaching other physicians what I know so that we can expand this work. And I'm working very hard right now to do exactly that. And I have several different ways that I'm doing that. Number one, there's a new organization that your listeners might want to know about called ICEAI. That's ISEAI, which technically stands for the International Society for the for Environmentally Acquired Illness. And it's an organization that is, our mission is to certify to physicians the ability that they have to understand how to diagnose and treat environmental toxins, infections, and all that comes with that. This is a very complicated part of medicine, and this organization will have its first national meeting and certification process this May. And so,
oh, great.
For those,
where is it? Because I might myself want to attend.
That'd be great. Phoenix, Arizona, May 3rd to 5th. And I would love to have you there, Ron. And we have it's a star-studded lineup in this field. Dr. Navio, who we mentioned before, will be speaking along with Joe Brescano and Rich Horowitz, who are Lyme experts. And we have most of the mold experts in this country, including myself, Joe Brewer, Jeanette Hope, and more. So it's
good you mention that, because we do actually have a fair number of clinicians who listen to this program, in addition to our very astute lay people who like to follow Intelligent Medicine. But let's get back to the basics. You know, tick-borne disorders are part and parcel of this, and they're very pervasive. In the book, you cite a stark statistic, which is that even by the admission of the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, 300,000 people annually are afflicted with new-onset tick-borne or newly diagnosed tick-borne disorders. And that may be the tip of the iceberg, because it's hard to diagnose these conditions. So where is this a precipitant of this malaise that many people experience?
It is, and it goes woefully undiagnosed. As I know you know, there are two major medical groups in this country, one of whom is trying to promote the understanding of tick-borne illness and how to treat it, and the other one is essentially denying that it even exists. So medical practitioners are left in somewhat of a bind because, in a sense, they're being asked to take sides as to which of these groups is correct. I will say that with the CDC statement, it's very clear to me that we're dealing with an epidemic that is greater even than AIDS ever was. And if I can put the mold in perspective, yeah, it's estimated that there may be up to 10 million people in this country currently suffering with mold toxic symptoms as well. So these are major issues that are not being recognized or treated right now.
Another aspect of this chronic malaise that people experience with, and it's a relatively new paradigm, and it's something that's very welcome because it explains a lot of bizarre symptoms, is something called MCAS. And we used to call this histamine intolerance, but it kind of goes beyond just histamine, right? That there are some people,
right, yeah,
who are just have, again, a bizarre array of symptoms that may coexist with Lyme disease, it may coexist with mold toxicity, often as an accompaniment of these things. And that requires a specific set of procedures as well.
Yeah, it does. I had mentioned before, this MCAS is mast cell activation syndrome. And what happens is these infectious illnesses or toxins or both start to inflame the mast cells so that they become hypervigilant and hyperreactive to stimuli that normally they wouldn't deal with. Now, normally, a mast cell, its job is to coordinate how the immune system deals with infectious and toxic agents. But if it becomes inflamed, it becomes overreactive to all stimuli and starts to release histamine and 200 other biochemical mediators into the body. Which
I often refer to those people as people who seem to be allergic to to everything. You know, it's not like, you know, we try to do allergy tests on them. We say, well, you know, let's get rid of wheat and dairy. That often helps people. Well, not much better. You know,
right.
And it gets down to the point where they're drinking tap water and they still manifest symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely right. It isn't allergy, although what they share with allergy is an excessive amount of histamine secretion.
Well, they're like their own allergy factory, they become.
Yeah. They, depending on the state of reactivity of their mast cells, as you're pointing out absolutely correctly, they can react to drinking water. You know, and if you don't understand it, other people will go, you can't be allergic to water. Well, they're not allergic to water, but the water is so irritating to the mast cells in their gut that it is producing histamine, which can cause all of the symptoms I just talked about,
mm-hmm,
but most prominently, palpitations, sweating.
Right. So again, we're not talking about the traditional allergy symptoms. Yeah, there's sneezing, wheezing, skin itching, burning.
Yeah.
This can be fairly typical, but a bizarre array of symptoms can arise from this, right?
And the tip-off is that it occurs immediately after eating or drinking something.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't an hour or two wait. It's immediate. And so if you or a loved one has some kind of an unusual symptom that occurs within minutes of eating or drinking something, there's your tip-off to the fact that this is probably a mast cell activation issue.
And measures to control that, their dietary measures, there are certain supplements.
Well, sure. First of all, there's a low histamine diet. I usually ask my patients to go through the internet because there's a lot of low histamine diets. And they're all restrictive. So I ask them to pick out one that they think they can do and do it for at least 2 weeks. If it is helpful, then it's worthwhile staying with it. In my own experience, about 50% of my patients respond well to that, and about 50% of my patients go, it's not really doing anything. So if it's helpful, they should continue, but if it's not, there's no particular point in being restricted.
There's also supplements that are helpful for this. Quercetin has been touted. Something called DAO has been touted.
Correct. And so there's both pharmaceutical interventions and supplements. And interestingly, Ron, I find that people either go into one group or the other. They tend to respond either to natural materials or to pharmaceutical agents, occasionally both. So the natural materials, as you mentioned, quercetin is probably the number one. And in that, quercetin is a natural mast cell stabilizer. But it's important for consumers to know that you really need to take it 30 minutes before you eat, or it won't work very well. In other words, it has to
it's prophylactic. It's preventive.
Exactly. You've got to be quieting down those mast cells before something comes down the hatch, or it's not going to really be very effective. So quercetin, 30 minutes before each meal. DAO, which stands for diamine oxide. It is an enzyme that breaks down histamine and can be very helpful. There's a couple of other products. One is called Paramine. Another one is called All Clear. Both of which...
By the way, all of these listed in a comprehensive fashion in your book. But your book is very generous about lists of potential remedies. And, you know, different strokes for different folks. Some people respond to one rather than the other.
Right. Now, in the medication is things that many people probably have taken, such as Claritin or Allegra, which are H1 histamine receptor mm-hmm. blockers, or Pepcid and Zantac, which is an H2 receptor blocker. So those are the simplest things that patients can mm-hmm. take, and often that will make a huge difference. I find
it's funny that an ulcer medication actually is part of the solution for this, but it turns out it's actually an antihistamine.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So often the more of these things that a patient can take, the quieter the reaction becomes, and many patients will report feeling markedly better within a few days of even starting this.
Right. And then it's a matter of sort of ramping down that inappropriate immune response.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we've got to go back to the treatment, meaning this is great, but if we want to cure it, we need to fix what's set this off in the first place, which for most patients is either mold or Lyme or one of the co-infections of Lyme disease, which is Bartonella.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk briefly about Bartonella, because I think people have heard a lot about Lyme disease, but Bartonella, you know, it sounds like... you know, some sort of Italian after-dinner liqueur.
Yeah, it does, but not really. So, first of all, you can get Bartonella in two main ways. One of the common ones is that when a tick bites an individual, they will inject eventually the contents of its stomach into that person's body through the skin.
I've heard it said that, and I think you've heard this again and again, is getting a tick bite is a little bit like stepping on a dirty syringe on a, you know, it's washed up on a beach.
Yep. Dr. Joe Burascano calls it nature's dirty needle.
Mm-hmm.
And so along with Lyme, Bartonella is one of the commonest things that the tick will inject into you. It can also inject Babesia, Ehrlichia, Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, type rickettsias, other things. But the two most common are Lyme and Bartonella. And the other way you can get Bartonella is, believe it or not, from exposure to cats. About 40% of cats carry the Bartonella bacteria, and if you are scratched or bitten by a cat, if that can, again, penetrate the skin, that becomes something that you are exposed to and could ostensibly get.
It's like the old rock and roll song, Cat Scratch Fever.
And cat scratch fever is what we're kind of talking about with many, many other species.
Mm-hmm. But this is more insidious. I mean, a lot of people are under the impression, I think a lot of conventional doctors are under the impression, is that when you get one of these infections, you're going to get a rip-roaring fever, you know, joint aches, massive symptoms that are going to be obvious, and it's going to be just a matter of a quick blood test to confirm, a dose of antibiotics, and you're done.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than that, and I wish it was that simple, but it isn't. Whether or not you get sick from this type of exposure has to do with the very elaborate dance that your immune system does with these microbes. So if you have a very strong, intact immune system, you can have this literal injection of Lyme or Bartonella, and you can hold it at bay for years.
Mm-hmm.
But if your immune system becomes weakened, then you lose that containment, and one or both of those organisms can start to take over, and it uses a variety of methods to weaken your immune system further so that it can't deal with the way it normally would. So you could have had a tick bite years ago and have no obvious symptoms from it. As you're pointing out, no, you might not get all of the symptoms immediately, you know, fever and swollen lymph glands, etc. And it might come on years later.
Is it easy to diagnose these chronic infections by conventional means, or do we have to use special tests?
You need special tests, and unfortunately it's still not easy, even with special testing. One of the problems with these microbes is that they have the ability to weaken your immune system so thoroughly that you may not be able to make antibodies to them, which is how we normally make our diagnosis. So if you took Lyme or Bartonella, for example, even if you had Lyme, your immune system might be too weak to make antibodies so that the normal testing that we would do would come up negative, even if you had it.
So this is a whole subject unto itself. We might invite you back in a couple of months for a deeper dive on the subject of tick-borne illnesses, because that in itself is a very, very complicated paradigm. But I want to switch gears slightly and talk about the autonomic nervous system and how it's involved in these symptoms that some of these patients experience, such as POTS, postural hypotension, you know, so we call it weak and woozy disease that many patients have. And palpitations and dizziness, lightheadedness, sometimes weird skin sensations, hot, cold sensitivity. These have to do with the nervous system, and it's very easy to attribute these things to it's all in your head. And to some extent, that's accurate because it partakes of the nervous system. And the central nervous system, yeah, it happens to be located in your head, but it's also permeates your body via the nerves, the vagus nerve. That's the largest of the autonomic nerves. So you actually have devoted a thoughtful section in your book to resetting, and I think you nicely use the word rebooting the autonomic nervous system. Just like you might, you know, my computer doesn't work, I just simply, you know, hit reboot.
That is the correct analogy. And you're really bringing up a super important subject, which is the kinds of inflammation that we're talking about, which is brain inflammation, not psychogenic, but brain inflammation, affects two main areas of the brain. And you're correctly pointing out that the vagus nerve is one of them, and the other one is the limbic system. So the
fight
limbic
or flight.
System is the
yep.
part of Exactly. The limbic system is the part of the brain that deals largely with emotion and sensitivities. So if you have someone who has been, you know, rock stable all their life, and all of a sudden they are anxious, experiencing panic, overwhelming depression, sometimes they don't even feel like they're in their own body, they become sensitive to light, sound, touch, everything that they go near, that really smacks of a limbic dysfunction, which is really common in these patients. And that interfaces with the vagus nerve. Even though these are different parts of the brain, a limbic dysfunction will also affect the vagus nerve and its related cranial nerves, and vice versa. So we need to, and especially in our very sensitive patients, and in my practice, that's almost everybody, we need to use treatments that will quiet down these hyperreactive, hypervigilant parts of the nervous system so that their bodies will even allow them to take the treatments that will ultimately get them well.
So other than benzodiazepines, you know, Valium, Ativan, Xanax, which commonly patients of this kind are dosed with, what are some more fundamental ways, not artificial ways, to reset the nervous system?
Well, I'll talk about them separately. For the limbic system, there's a program developed by Annie Hopper called DNRS, which stands for Dynamic Neural Retraining, which are exercises and visualizations that will quiet the limbic system. It's a fabulous system. I've had at least 250 of my patients use it with some great responses to it. There's a parallel system developed by another person named Ashok Gupta, which is called amygdala retraining. And it's similar, but somewhat.
And the amygdala is thought to be like the fear center of the brain. It's like recognition,
correct,
but also fear, right?
Fear. But again, the amygdala and the limbic system are literally almost a different name, different names for the same part of the brain, of the brain, essentially. So those are simple things that can be done for the limbic system. For the vagus nerve, there is a series of exercises which has recently been written about by a fellow named Stanley Rosenberg in a book called Accessing the Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve. And very simple exercises which can be done in a very short period of time. Stanley Rosenberg himself is a craniosacral practitioner. And if you can find someone who is good at craniosacral work, particularly I would recommend the biodynamic osteopathic component of that, combining that with these exercises is a great way to quiet these nerves. You can also use a device called frequency-specific microcurrent, which will help to quiet it down. And there's another device called BrainTap, which again you can utilize to quiet down or reboot this nervous system.
Well, you've obviously taken a very, very comprehensive look at multiple pathways by which we can diagnose and untangle the complex web of problems that afflict these patients. And it's all in this book. It's very comprehensive. I would recommend it to patients as well as practitioners. If some of this has resonated for you, if you've experienced these symptoms, and I think many of you have, or perhaps you know someone who has, this is the book for you. It's titled Toxic, Heal Your Body from Mold Toxicity, Lyme Disease, Multiple Chemical Sensitivities, and Chronic Environmental Illness. The author, today's guest, Neil Nathan, MD. And you can find out more about Dr. Nathan at his website, which is neilnathanmd.com. And that's N-E-I-L. Spelling, N-E-I-L, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N-M-D.com. And I just really want to extend my profound admiration for the work that you've done. And congratulations in this book, which beautifully articulates your work and hopefully will be shared widely.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on your show and have you share it with your audience.
Well, indeed. And I think what we'll do is, there's just so much in the book that we may repack a second podcast focusing specifically on some of the issues that we didn't manage to cover today because there's so much here. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Nathan.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.